Hello, friends. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to R&R Saturdays, where you restore and renew. This is our sacred space to relax and rest our hearts, which may have been broken, wearied, or worn out the past week. Today, I'm so excited and very, you know, I've been looking forward to this interview because I've invited a very inspiring friend. He's the chief consultant of Kaizen Leadership Asia, a lean expert. And he also authored 3 books on personal and professional development, one of which I had the privilege of editing and reviewing. It's called The Personal Kaizen. So here today to share with us his own journey about healing, on healing and personal change and other interesting stuff. So I hope you will listen till the end. Friends, welcome my friend, Mike Grogan. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey. Maraming salamat para ang introduction yo sa akin. I'm feeling very nice to be here with you, Marge, and of course, our listeners and viewers sa buong mundo, hindi lang sa Pilipinas. So, very grateful.
Thank you, Mike, for spending time with us, given your busy schedule these days. I just want to start off, since it's tomorrow, this month is National Mental Health Awareness Day, October 10, to be specific. I want to ask, have you ever had a mental breakdown and how did you deal with that?
Wow, I love this first question. Straight into vulnerability. I love it. So yes is the short answer. I've had low points where I was doubting my self-worth, doubting my purpose, and feeling isolated and alone. I'll give 2 stories, actually, given 2 different perspectives. One was over, 13 years ago, when a relationship, romantic relationship broke up, and I was rejected by someone I thought I would have a long future with. And the unhealthy stories that I allowed in my head in the months after that, of not being worthy or good enough or allowing someone else's opinion of me to define my reality. And so that was, I guess, one rejection that I learned a lot from in terms of the lessons that it gave me. And it was actually years later that I actually was able to, it wasn't like an automatic quick fix. It was more like, and this is very normal, bilang lalake, we're very good at itagong and totong pakirandan. And so a mistake that I made looking back, was almost 15 years actually, when I think about it, was actually just trying to delete those memories and trying to move on, trying to fast track the healing process. And I attempted to do that, but just because you delete something from your short-term memory, that doesn't mean it goes into the archive folder or whatever, and it stays around for a while. And sometimes it shows up under times of pressure and stress. So actually for me, fast forward 7 years after that incident, it actually showed up when I was in a different part of the world. And I was out of my comfort zone. I just started working in a hospital in Africa after leaving my comfort zone. I was working at Tag Ireland Co. So I'm Irish, but I lived in the UK and the US for a few years and in Tanzania, East Africa. But my move to Tanzania, I started just to feel extra loneliness and self-doubt for the first 6 months, and kind of living for short-term highs, whether that be alcohol or friends or entertainment, whatever it is, but then the next day just going into a massive low. So one of the things I learned in that was I needed to spend more time with myself. And sometimes maybe our listeners can relate to this when you're something traumatic happens to you, there's a temptation to just get busy, to numb your pain or numb your feelings with distractions and noise. Sometimes those distractions are not healthy, lead to unhealthy habits, and they're self-destructive. But for me, maybe my addiction was busyness. Keep busy, Mike. That's how you forget pain. Yeah, keep moving forward, keep building the projects, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a short-term solution. I want to compliment it in a way. I don't want to criticize it because there is short-term benefits, but it's not the long-term solution to healing. And for me, and I'll just share one of the solutions that helped me in my healing journey, was actually to go on vacations, Magisa, and Bakashon, Walangtao, Sarili Lang. What I mean by this is, for the first time in my life, I went to the beach, for example, on my own, went away on a weekend for my own. Because unfortunately, and I know this is the culture of the Pilipinas, that if you're a loner, there's something wrong with you. Or baka sira ang ulo nila, because they're trying to spend time with themselves. But I just can't see and how we can live a fulfilled life without finding quality time on your own. I know you can. There's so many different ways to do that. But for me, it was just isolation on the beach, just looking at the water, being still, journaling, of course, and just really getting to the root causes of my fears and pains and emotions that I suppress. So amazingly, guys, it's just 7 years, like that wound that happened 7 years prior, it was only when I actually created space for self-healing, when I thought that other issues coming up, one of the root causes was I had unresolved things from my past that I didn't process. So yeah, I'll stop there because I could go in depth further, but that gives hopefully some context that some of my experiences to date. I'm sure there's more awaiting me in the future.
But you're stronger now, Mike. Thank you very much for that. So you needed to face your fears, face your wounds, and heal from that. Parang you need to isolate yourself and to heal, parang heal yourself by facing it. Right now, we're isolated. We're actually, some of us are isolated and experience depression. But I've personally seen that you have to go through it so that you will understand, you will appreciate joy more when you heal and you face those sadness and the root of those sadness and fears, and you overcome that, become a better person, stronger to face future problems, because living here, we will always have challenges, but you're stronger. Thank you, Mike. So I was going to ask if you've ever felt unloved, but I think you've answered that question already.
Well, I guess I'll give you a different answer.
Right.
Of feeling unloved, and it's related to family members, which I think is one of my biggest observations. So I've lived in the Philippines here, at the time of this recording, 7 years here in the Philippines. And yeah, as a foreigner who's not born into the culture, there's certain observations that I can make. And the same with if a Filipino were to come to live in my country, for the first time, you'll see observations. Oh, Irish people are a bit different. things that you won't pick up if you're actually born into that culture, because it becomes the norm, the wallpaper. And I know one of the things that I can certainly relate to in Filipino culture, the challenge of dealing with difficult family members and the internal pressures to conform to your parents' wishes or your elders' wishes, or to not rock the boat, not overachieve, because something called crab mentality wants to stop that. So I guess maybe in my own experience of climbing my mountain, if you want to, and sundan and akampakarandam, the most painful type of conflict I've had is not with some strangers, it's with family members who created narratives that I started to believe that I was, I don't know, betraying the family by not, for example, not following the family business, by choosing to live overseas, that I was abandoning family members. So there's very hurtful words. And obviously in the heat of the moment, and I'm just as guilty in those moments for triggering other family members. So I've gained a bit of wisdom from distance as well. But I guess it's one of the, in those moments, especially with family members, where family can trigger you like no one else. Yes. Isn't that right, Marge?
Yes.
They can say something, it fuels you and it hurts you and creates these negative emotions.
Yeah. It's the closest to us that can hurt us the most, because we're vulnerable to them. Yeah.
So I guess for me, one of the things is to make peace with loving people from a distance. Mm. And even though a certain family member makes out that I'm the enemy or has a negative perception of me, sometimes actually trying to solve the problem is actually making things worse. And it's a phenomenon called learned helplessness. where the worst thing you can do is actually try and help, because you fuel that person's false belief that they're helpless and unworthy, et cetera, et cetera. So courage to actually take a break from family, certain family members, not all, of course, but certain family members that are, may not be healthy for you in this season of, for both perspectives, the current season in life where you are and the current season in life where they are. And I think that's one of the things, the pieces of wisdom that I learned from some of my mentors, is to make peace with that. It's not never, it's not to end, completely end the relationship, I'm not saying that, but from a certain season, it's just to step back and let nature take its course, and knowing that you're loving them from a distance, whether it be sending prayers or positive vibes, your distance, and when doors open up, you can be present and add value. But for now, not to take action. And I'm sharing this with you because I know this is one of the hardest things for a lot of Filipinos. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's people that will give you the opposite advice on this, that you should never close your door to a family member. But I'm giving some opposite advice to that, because I think it's all situational and depending on the season of life as well, on both sides. So I'll stop there.
I love listening. I understand loving from a distance. What if they live with you? What if it's like a sibling or a parent and you're living with them? How do you live in an environment that's difficult or toxic? And also, how do you start or deal with difficult conversations? You can't just ignore them, although some do. So for a time we can, but sooner or later we have to face them because we live with them. So how do you deal with such difficult conversations and difficult relationships?
Yeah. Well, I just opened up my juice there. I think if people are watching the video, they'll see me struggling. I thought it'd be a...
what is the juice?
just green juice. Just okay. Some green healthy. Keep me energized. But it looked like I was in a wrestling match with the juice. Wouldn't open up. Wow, this is a super hard one.
It's like a symbol for your difficult relationship, like wrestling with that, right?
Wrestling with a family member, yeah. Yes. Let's deep dive in this. Yes. Because I know sometimes a lot of the literature out there, especially from Western countries, gives simple solutions like, hey, just move out. Wala ang problema. Get your own apartment. Blah, 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 blah. I guess I'm empathetic enough to know that for a lot of Filipinos, that's not an option. So I think, Marge, the intention of your question is to deep dive on where it's actually not an option.
Yes. Yeah. So yes. I know that, because I know a lot of people who are that, because in the Philippines also, it's not easy to just move out. Also for economic reasons, and also right now because of the lockdown and the pandemic. But
yeah.
Because you're at home, all the time. There will be friction. I think it's normal to have arguments, but there are some difficult relationships that are really toxic and like going for ages. It's not the normal thing. So how do you deal with that?
So, okay, let's break this down to some. So where leaving is not an option.
Yes.
So in these cases, definitely the priority still is self-care. How can you put more barriers in place to protect you, to make sure that you get your time to look after yourself on a daily basis, in terms of the holistic healthcare. Mm-hmm. I think that's number one. Otherwise, you're kind of fighting a battle in a low bat. So we can have a conversation later about potential self-care options. But on a daily basis, not once a week, I'll go for a run or whatever. No, on a daily basis, you have something to prime you, mm-hmm. Both at the beginning of the day and start of the day, so that you're giving your best regardless of what's thrown at you. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. I think number two will be understanding the triggers. So one of the things it's really helped a lot of people with recovery plans is to identify what a potential trigger is from a family member and then to visualize your response to that scenario. Mm-hmm. So I'm not actually, because I don't think I'm qualified enough to give advice about in terms of Filipino family dynamics, since I'm not that'll be outside of my scope. But in terms of self-care, I would the advice I would give here is okay, what triggers you? Maybe when your father says this, when your sister does this, etc. Those, especially those, and maybe they don't even know how hurtful those, and even this body language, it could be, when you're, and how can you protect yourself from those scenarios? So number one, maybe how you can minimize scenarios where you're listening to them or actually there, create some ground rules for how you're going to interact. And then if you are triggered, which will be unavoidable if you're still going to live with them, could you visualize in advance what your reaction going to be and take it from there? I mean, I'll give one practical example. If you're, let's say you're an atheist, for whatever, the opposite spectrum of the political arena, and as always trying to glorify the politician that you hate the most, whatever it may be, you could just say, you know what, I'm not going to, in advance, I'm not going to engage in these conversations. Because I know maybe she takes a joy out of having these. Some people are like that. They really enjoy conflict at this expense of lowering your energy levels and exhausting you. So you could do the whole, just pretend you've got a phone call and walk out of the room. That could be, there's so many different tactics where you kind of just withdraw from those high conflict situations. But the key thing is find the trigger. What is the moment of trigger? And what's the alternative response? And in cases where the family member is open, you just have that. But unfortunately, it's so difficult, family members, because maybe with work colleagues, I can see it working, but I don't know, for some family members, having that conversation about how to minimize conflict, I know a lot of them are not open to it because it just generates more conflict. So I'll stop there because this is such an emotional.
Very deep, very deep. Thank you, Mike, for sharing those insights. I like what you said about knowing your triggers. It's like preparing for an attack. So as you mentioned earlier, you can love from a distance, even at home, meaning in a way that you set boundaries, with loving this. You still love this person unconditionally, but you protect yourself from like hurtful words by not absorbing them or taking them very personally, because maybe that hurt person is really just hurt also. It needs healing and from that brokenness. Yeah. So you need to be whole yourself in order to like understand this person and see him or her with compassion. Thank you so much, Mike. You've been living here in the Philippines for the past 7 years. How has it been? How is it being married to a Filipina and working with Filipinos? What do you like most about that? And what do you also dislike somehow about that?
Well, kaligayahan, joy, the sense of bayanihan in the Philippines. I love my team that I work with. Obviously, my Filipino family and extended Filipino friends. Gusto kong manatili dito. Mahal ko ang Pilipinas. I think this is a beautiful country. God, hindi na kamali ang Diyos ng ginawa niya among Pilipino. I see my future here and I see great potential for this country and the transformations that we've seen in other countries around the world. And let's use a local example, local in terms of regional, Singapore, how they were able to turn around their misfortunes and from when they became a country to where they are today. South Korea, another example of starting in a very bad place to where it is today. There's nothing that I can see that's stopping this country in terms of like real barriers that's stopping this country from becoming the first world Philippines in our lifetime. And that's our vision of my team. I live for that excitement to see Filipinos thrive. Filipinos have proven when they are spread around the world, whether that be Sobrang Malamig to Canada or Sama Arrows to Saudi Arabia, they will thrive if the conditions are right. If the environment is right, if they get the right support, Filipinos thrive and add so much value to the societies that they're a part of. Mm-hmm. Now, the number one place we need to improve the environment is, of course, dito, Sabansan. So that's why I want to stay in the Philippines to contribute some way to improving this environment here, this culture. And it's the same way, nurturing its strengths and then how to minimize the weaknesses that we all cultures have. That's what I love living in this country, and I'm happy to, anywhere we want to go to deep dive, I'm sure a lot of Filipinos have conversations on weaknesses, but yeah, I'm happy if you want me to deep dive in any of those.
Yeah, Mike, I want to ask, what, from your observation, what are the limiting beliefs that you have observed working with Filipinos, living with a Filipino? What have you observed are the limiting beliefs that we have? And how do you think we can overcome them?
So many false beliefs that it's a human condition to have false beliefs. Mm-hmm. But I think from understanding you correctly,
culturally,
cultural false beliefs.
Yeah.
I will definitely, I'll just say direct, and I don't, because I love this country and hopefully this is coming from a place of love. Mm-hmm. Low standards for ourselves and for our leaders, not just in politics, but in every area. Accepting those standards. There's a great Filipino proverb about kabag maikle ang kumot, matuto makroktot.
Mamaluktot.
Yeah.
Good job.
Extension of Paul Minson, kamalingan sa akin na nalita. And that's a beautiful phrase, because the intention of that phrase is really about discarding, given limitations. Mm-hmm. However, a negative perception of that wisdom is, just settle. Don't ask for a bigger blanket, as one of my favorite authors says here, Coach Penny. That was her book, to ask for a bigger blanket. Maybe Filipinos need to start asking more from their leaders, their society, and themselves, not in a kind of makasarili mayabang way. So there's an extreme. So this is why this is a sensitive conversation, because it's easy to misquote someone of the context. You want people to be confident and assertive, but you don't want the extreme of that where they're miyabang and cocky or
in the middle, confident.
Yeah, and it's context situation. So I just would love more Filipinos to dream bigger for themselves. And I think there's so much opportunity. The exciting thing about what's happened economically around the world, there's so many Filipinos that now have doors open to them. I know there's doors closed for a lot of Filipinos in a way, but then if you just look over to the left and look over to the right, wow, there's Madame in Pintuan.
Windows.
Windows as well, Bintana Rain, where there's new opportunity. I think I'll focus on the generation that are young, especially.
Yeah.
And Gen Z, the millennials as well, there's so much opportunity in freelancing, in work from home, that you can have a high quality of life. None of this BS dreams that are given to you by previous generations that hindi pwede maging tagumpay dito sa Pilipinas. And you can only go to other foreign countries. Now, I have sympathy for people, or malasakit is a better word for people who feel they've had to go overseas. But I really feel that's a cultural been passed down to them, and it's unfair, and I would love to see a generation of Filipinos end the need for economic immigration. Now, of course, to immigrate, to travel the world, to learn, etc., no problem there, but to immigrate because you see no opportunities at home and walang pagasa, that needs to change. So more Filipinos that are infected with pagasa and just have a better opinion of themselves, and what's this? Ang nalaking kaaway ng mga Pilipino ay ang kapwang Pilipino, the biggest enemies ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I really want to change that, and just where I see, because there's so many people talking about the negatives, I just want to shine more lights on the positives. And as I mentioned earlier, Bainian, Walang Iwanan, Kapatiran, there is so much positives in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we just help strengthen those positives, and the negatives will start to minimize. And that's the best of the Filipino, because the world needs the best of the Filipino. And that's why I want to stay here, to see this day happen.
Thank you, Mike. Sometimes we cannot see what the good in us, because we cannot see it objectively. Thank you for seeing the good in us. I want to ask, what are the things that we, positive things that we see in the Filipino, so that they will also be aware and be reminded of it, because there's so much potential here. I agree. I believe in the potential of the Filipinos. And as a side question, how do you increase self-worth? How do you help them believe in themselves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess the first question is, pagtais para sa pamilya, pagtais para sa kaibigan. So if I got that right, it's suffering and sacrificing for others.
Family,
whether it be for friends or for your workmates, to get an example. Just the heroics I've seen from Filipinos. So one of the cultural aspects in this part of the world, in Southeast Asia, is far more collaborative, given the right environment, than a typical Western culture, which is far more individualistic. So there's pros and cons of each system. It's not one is right or other, but to see Filipinos support each other when the time, like whether it be college students working on a deadline together to finish their theses, whether it's teammates working overtime because a team member fell sick and they need to help, just this willingness to sacrifice and support each other without complaining, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it's just this, and you see it in family members as well. If someone is feeling sick, the support that comes in. Of course, my family, we had experience with COVID as well, and so much the love that came in our way, meals being delivered. That's unique, and that's very uniquely Filipino. Not many cultures in the world have that sense of support when it's there. So I guess for me, it's just how can we expand that type of support to not just think of people within our own network or within our own tribe or Sariling Lahi or for our own province, but to really create more unity. And it happens in moments of trauma for the country. We see it happening, the best of the Filipino, the recovery efforts. Now, I guess the challenge is, okay, how do we not rely on trauma events? On how we have daily reminders to give more to our society, our fellow Filipinos that may be in a season where they need the help and support and encouragement. It doesn't have to be money or materialistic things. It could just be time and words of encouragement. So that's what I'm excited about, because I know the potential is there. It's just how do we accelerate that pagibig galang sa puso. That's in, I believe, every single Filipino is born with this love for his to serve and to give.
True. It's called malasakit. It's care. It's going beyond yourself. And the community spirit also is very alive. Thank you for bringing that, helping that, reminding us of that, Mike. So you've seen a lot of Filipinos who suffering from low self-esteem because probably of our history of colonization. We think that it's better if it's from another country. But right now, I can see that's being, it's slowly or actually being removed, that mindset. But in the rural areas or in the countryside, I think it's still more a little bit prevalent. So how do we deal, how do we increase self-esteem? How do you personally, how do you help your teammates, your Filipino workmates believe in themselves?
Yes, thank you. This is an important question because, and let's expand the scope. So it could be body shaming, it could be skin shaming, it could be their level of English shaming, smart shaming. It happens. So it's shaming, and this, once again, from my study of Southeast Asian Hindi language Filipinas, it's been used as a tool to keep people in check. So however, it's a devastating tool for self-growth, shaming, and it's proven to have massive long-term negative consequences, trying to shame someone into conforming with whatever community expectations. So, and of course, colonialism has played a part to that for 100%. There has to be, we can't have the solution just snap out of it. That's not a practical solution. We have to, first of all, empathize and study the history of how we got to where we are today. So action number one, just really encourage. There's so many amazing authors. Like I'm not trying to exaggerate, just because it's my subject of passion, I've easily read about over 100 books just about the Philippines alone. And that's not to say, just there's so many good material out there. From authors, from writers. My particular passion is reading, but of course you can get this information from videos, from documentaries, movies like Henry Luna, other movies, etc. Can give us great insights into this culture of just how we got to where we are today. There's so many great thinkers out there that we can learn from. So it's good, number one, to study about the national journey, of how we've got here as a race, to have more empathy for maybe our parents and grandparents that passed us down these limiting beliefs. And that's true. And hey, a Coleraine, my family, my country was colonized, a different type of colonization, but we're treated like second-class citizens for 800 years. A lot of deprogramming needed to happen. It's still there. It's even after we're 100 years independent, similar to the Philippines, similar journey. But yeah, a lot of my parents and their parents still have a colonial, we're not good enough, we're not smart enough mindset. So the more you study about it, the more you can almost forgive your parents and grandparents and society. And also at the same time, you can admire the positive attributes that they also passed down. So this is not about a blaming exercise. This is also, hey, mom, dad, Lola, thank you so much for passing me down this gift of Bayanihan, this burning desire I have to love my fellow Kapwa. That's also something that they pass you down. But at the same time, and that's something you want to pass on to the next generation, not necessarily your own blood in terms of nephew, Pomumkinmo or Anakmo, but also the people that you influence, your work colleagues. But you also want to identify what are the toxic stuff that they've unintentionally or intentionally passed down to you, like crab mentality, the puedina, whatever it is, mamian, buka sinalang. Yeah, everyone knows these, the negative attributes. And then that's your chance to make a difference to the next generation that follows you. That, oh, wow, you were the one that made that shift continuing passing down the positive values, but minimizing and in some cases completely eliminating some of the negative aspects that really hurt people and their self-worth. So that would be advice number one from a cultural perspective. And part two of that, of course, will be your own self-worth. And this is a more complex answer because, of course, this is unique to each individual.
Is there a general principle from your experience, like, how did you increase your self-worth? How did you love yourself, Mike?
So I'll give you, here's one exercise. So it's a journey for everyone. Okay. But I'll give you one exercise that one of my, and I was a psychiatrist that I was talking to at the time when I was in Africa. And I had such a low opinion of myself and I was so hard on my inner critic. I'm not worthy of love, you know, those type of voices in my head. And she gave me an exercise to say, okay, why I remember this so much, because it was our first session together. And I couldn't believe the homework she gave me. She said, Mike, tonight, thank you for the session, etc. But tonight, all I want you to do is go home and look in the mirror and stare at the mirror for 1 minute and just say, Mike, I love you. Mike, I love you. Constantly repeat it out. I'm laughing now because that homework was so simple. I don't know why I struggled so much. Because it highlighted the fact that in a non-crazy way, she was highlighting how many of us actually have that eye-to-eye contact with ourselves and actually say those words. And I think that was the first time as an adult, maybe in my entire life, that I've actually said those words to myself. And I could feel something inside, actually. For me, and that particular season in my life, those words, it just a reminder. And sometimes the best thinking partners or coaches or psychiatrists in the world, they don't necessarily give you advice or tell you what to do, but just give you exercises or ask you questions that remind you of your self-worth, of your beauty, of your strength, of the blessings. So maybe the advice I would give to any person that's struggling with self-worth is find a trusted thinking partner. Don't have to be a professional psychiatrist, well, it may be for some, but someone you really respect that's not a chismosa, bawal pangahuska, that they will keep a safe, a bilog natiwala for you, and just to share with them some of the struggles. Because usually when you're feeling this, it's kadalasan, we're focusing on one negative. Okay, so I usually do this in a prop, but imagine if I spilled my green juice here and it went on the bed. Here I am focusing on the stain. And Madumi said one part of the mattress or the kama, where everything else is fine. So maybe 1% is negative, but you're just focusing on the negative. And it goes back to that relationship I told you about earlier. When this girl broke up with me 15 years ago, I just focused, my brain was just focused to think about that relationship in terms of the negative 5%, forgetting the positive 95% that I got from it. and experiences. So if you can find someone that can help you rebalance your thinking, I'm not saying delete the negative memory, whether that be 20% or 30% or 50%. Everyone is different. If whoever hurt you, was there any positives on your journey or from your childhood that you can be reminded of? You know what? Sulit ako. There is love here. People, I'm here to do something. I don't know what it is yet, maybe, but someone loves me. Whether it's the sunshine or feeling, but if you can just get a thinking partner to help you remind you, I think that could be pinakamabuting payo for someone listening right now.
Maraming salamat, Mike. I agree with you. The simplest advice is the best advice. I also did that, actually, that exercise before, and I realized I've never actually said I love you to myself. And sa beginning, sa umpisa, parang it's very awkward. And then I realized that's how you feel, no? You feel awkward about loving yourself, but eventually talaga, you need to say that. We say I love you every time to everyone, but we don't say I love you to ourselves. And yeah, it's perfectly okay. It's not selfish. It's healthy self-love. Because what you have, you cannot give what you don't have. So if you don't have love for yourself, you can't give it authentically to others. So thank you so much, Mike.
Just to give a second option for, it could be a love letter to yourself, saying 10 things you're proud of.
I love about myself.
There's different tools or techniques to, but I think it's the same end point where you realize, you know what? I am a good person. I have self-worth. I have added value to this world. And there's so much more that I can do in the future. So whatever techniques can get you to that realization or that affirmation, then it's going to be a beautiful journey.
And guys, yes, there is hope. As you can see with Mike, he's very happy right now. From the 7 years or 13 years ago when you felt like it was the end of the world and you're so brokenhearted and there was no hope, but there is hope. Because looking in foresight right now, I can see Mike is thriving and happy in his relationships, workmates, family, friends. So there is life after a breakup. There is more to life. It's going to get better. So hang in there. And yes, you are lovable. You are loved. Not because one person rejected you doesn't mean you are not lovable. There is someone who loves you. And you should learn to love yourself. And in the future, someone will love you. And that's a bonus because you already love yourself. So last question, Mike. Or do you still want to go on? We can go on. How do you rest and relax after a week of hard work?
So I think the type of people that watch these videos and listen, I'm going to make a stereotype.
All right.
Stereotype, ambitious Filipino professionals, ambitious Filipino entrepreneurs, ambitious Filipino freelancers. I just feel that the people on this call want more. Gutom sila miging and pinikamabuting version sasarili to become successful. So one of the key skills, and you learn so much about productivity, how to achieve, how to optimize your day, maximize. But I think an important skill is how to, exactly as you said, Marge, how to unwind, how to relax, how to wind down. And you're speaking to someone who suffers from insomnia regularly. So, and this is something that I haven't mastered. So unfortunately, this brilliant brain that God has given us, one of my biggest challenges right now, how do I shut it down? turn it off or lower it down so I'm not thinking about work or problem solving. For example, last night, I didn't sleep that well, but it wasn't like I was nightmares or anxious. I was just writing a proposal or designing a presentation in my head for a client this coming week. I was like, why, Mike? Why am I doing this? So I'm sharing this with you as before I share the advice as a kind of pretext that I'm still struggling with this. And this could be my number one struggle for my peace of mind of how to switch off. So with that said, I've had some successes as well. Mm-hmm. I think my insomnia, is significantly down from what it was months ago or even a year ago or at the beginning of the pandemic. I've learned certain tools. For example, just before I took this call, I did a 10-minute mini meditation. So I have that meditation on my app, or just go on YouTube, whether it be the morning, whether it be between meetings. But I have easily doubled the time I spend meditating or just listening to a voice or focusing my breathing since lockdown happened, because of obviously the physical restriction that we have. I think that was something that really helped me. So that's number one. Number two, my end of day reflection exercise has really, really helped me in terms of unwinding my day. So I write typically 2 pages. I'll just get out while I'm having a cup of tea after dinner. What went well today? What did I learn today? Lessons learned. What could I have done even better? And anything I need to do for tomorrow. Just my brain, it's one way to wrestle my brain, to put it down on paper. And not, when it's on paper, then I can start to switch off. Sometimes when I've skipped that process, my brain starts to be awake at night. And it's actually sometimes in the middle of the night, I would get up and write stuff down just to keep my brain quiet. Are you happy now? It's just, I know that sounds crazy, but for a lot of listeners, they can maybe relate to that, that complete active side of your brain. So that's number two. And number three, how can you find non-destructive content that's actually going to switch your brain off and make you completely not think of work, whether it's stupid comedy, whether it's Korean novellas, whether it's the latest series of Netflix, whatever it is, anything that's going to help you switch off and not think of work. Now, the warning is sometimes the content, you need to be very careful, because here's an example. Like, I used to watch, you know, these real life murder documentaries, and it actually affected my sleep because it was doing documentaries on really evil people, and really narcissists, psychopaths. And actually, even though it was interesting and curious and fascinating and whatever, just be careful of that content because it can be unhealthy. So have some sort of content, but to make sure you manage your, if you see a theme, oh, wait a second, this is giving me nightmares, or this is actually making me even angrier. Like, that's why I think scrolling on social media is extremely dangerous at late at night, because you know you're just provoking yourself. You have no control over what is going to go on your feed. So you could be provoked by stuff that's just going to make you angry, or news that's designed to shock you and to get you. So definitely a ban on social media after a certain hour. But if you want to, you know, whatever, binge on something Netflix or whatever it is, that's something that's going to calm you down and put you in a healthy place before you go to sleep. Yeah, that could be something that helps you switch off. I hope I answered your question. I wanted to give some as high level, but also practical insights as well.
I love it, Mike. I like how you also write down your thoughts, because it's, you're dumping your thoughts, emptying your brain so it can be cleared and have space for like peace. So I'm just curious, what are you watching right now? I mean, you're not no longer watching the real crime dramas, I suppose. So yeah, what is the recreation right now? What have you been watching or doing?
Right now I'm watching this British comedy called This Country. And it just makes me laugh. It's kind of dark, not dark humor, it's like
dark
just
comedy.
No, stupid comedy. We're like, you know, there's two characters, so they're not the highest.
Like Monty Python.
Something like that. And it just makes me laugh. And here's another thing, like, I'm a child of the 80s, so professional, old school professional wrestling.
Oh, wow.
I know it's all scripted. I know it's like whatever, but I like to watch, you know, wrestling matches from years ago. It's completely not connected to my work. Where,
something not
because
connected.
I've cheated before, because I'm so addicted to professional development, sometimes I'd be reading a book on persuasion or influence and leadership late at night. And actually, oh, that's kind of cheating. That's actually activating my brain, not switching it down. I've read great, like, I'm trying to read more like fiction. Like, I recently read a book, The Things We Carried. It's in a book about the Vietnam War. And it's just a beautiful book, fiction, but inspired by real events. So I'm really giving this advice for like high performers, et cetera, where they're really aggressive on achieving their goals. But as much as that, you really need to plan for self-care, because my definition of success has changed over the years. And now my number one definition of success is peace of mind. Can I go to bed with the peace of mind knowing that I did my best and this day to become the best version of myself, even if it's just 1% better. That's for me the ultimate measure, that peace of mind and knowing that I'm trying my best. And I think in this season, especially where we're isolated, we don't have as much physical interaction. We need some sort of end of day routine just to reset us and to remind ourselves and to end the day on the right note. And then of course, in the morning as well, to begin in the right note. And definitely my high recommendation is completely ban social media and notifications and messaging first 2 hours in the morning and the last 2 hours at night, 100%. Maybe that's, if you remember only one thing of this, that's my biggest tip.
To have peace of mind. PS2, last question. What gives you joy, Mike?
Oh, my 2-year-olds, Malaya, Porik, and Pangalanya. So definitely becoming a parent has changed my perspective.
Love his name. Malaya means freedom.
Freedom, Kalayahan, yes, I know. That gives me a lot of joy just seeing him grow and learn. And once again, changing definition of success. For years, it was all about, climbing corporate ladders, achieving whatever, winning big contracts, etc. And now one of my definitions of success is, how can I spend more time with this little guy? I think a lot of people are making that transition as well. But it's not about obsessive fanatic with reaching a certain status level or whatever financial target, but how can I improve my quality of life? And he's my most inspiring and greatest mentor and teacher and coach right now, is this little guy, just watching him grow. So that's my single biggest joy the last 2.5 years, without doubt.
Beautiful, beautiful blessing. Thank you, Mike. Any last messages? Where can we reach you for your workshops or seminars and coaching? How do we reach you, Mike?
Either LinkedIn for the business side, and then for the non-business side, you can always follow me on Facebook.
Mike Grogan.
And Pangalan Lang. And my dream, as I mentioned, for the Philippines, just this country has been through a difficult few years recently. And the last 2 years have been really, really tough. And it's been divisive as well. And I just feel there's hope, my pagasa, my buhay, my pagasa. And I really hope, I know there's an election year coming very soon, that we move away from these toxic extremes, name calling, etc. There's so much beauty in this country. And I think sometimes you need to travel away from it to appreciate it even more. And sometimes you just need outsiders to say, hey, wow, and ganda nyo, and kagalingan dito, and kapugihan mo. There's so much potential in this country. And I think in the next 15 to 20 years, we're going to see so much transformation. And I want to stay here until we see this first world Philippines in our lifetime. Walang iwanan, no one left behind, no more extreme poverty, no more forced immigration. And this country has given so much to the world, so much to my country's, its healthcare system would collapse if without Filipinos. I'm not the only country that can make that statement, not just in healthcare, but also in terms of the ships of the world would grind to a halt without the engineers and seamen and women that are actually supporting those industries. So there's so much the Filipino has given back. Now my dream is, how can we focus all our beautiful energy on this beautiful islands here? These more than three big, I know we have the Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao, but we have so many beautiful islands here, so many beautiful tribes. How can we unite and just get 1% better every day? And not just wait until some sort of heroic leader to come and solve all the problems, which will never happen, no matter how much hard we dream and our hope. It's all about, how can we become 1% every day and we be kinder to each other. And that's why I want to stay in this beautiful country. And that's why I'm so hopeful. Mataas ang pag-asa ko para sa Pilipinas. So thank you so much, Marge, for the trust and giving me a space to share. And I bless every single one of your readers and viewers. The best days are ahead. I promise you, in the Philippines, the best days are ahead. Mabuhay kayo!
Amen to that. Thank you so much. I thank God for your pusong Pinoy and your brilliant mind. Thank you for sharing this wisdom and these insights and for being honest and vulnerable to us. I know personally, and those who are hearing this are blessed by those advice and insights. And I hope that they can take one of those advice and counsel this week, apply it, whether that be saying I love you to themselves for a week or writing down the good things about them, and also dreaming for the Philippines and for their families, being the best version of themselves and seeing the Philippines as a first world country, which is happening, I believe, right now, slowly but surely. Yes, please do something, because you need to execute what you've learned. You just don't listen, but you need to do so that you can be made whole again. So thank you once again, Mike, for being here. And I hope to see you again in the near future.
I've written a book about the Philippines. I'll put a link where they can download
World Class Philippine. Yes.
Managing Filipino Teams, actually.
Managing Filipino Teams.
Book I would like to give away for free.
Because
if it's not work-related, even if you're just part of a team, you're not a leader, it doesn't matter what position you are, you're going to get a lot of value in terms of stories written by foreigners about the strengths and weaknesses of this country. And I think you'll get a lot of inspiration. So check that out. It's a very quick read. Okay. I can give you the card and you can share it with your listeners.
Yes, I'll just put it in the link below and also on the podcast caption. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Have a good R&R. God bless.
Mabuhay, maraming salamat. Thank you.